Howdy, folks. I'm fixing to tell y'all about Texas, nicknamed the Lone Star State.
I'm particularly fond of these. I pulled them out of a place on Midgard called Texas.
Don't mess with Texas?
That's the message.
I'm Walker, and I'm Texas Ranger.
Anything for Salinas.
Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. This week we're discussing John Wesley Hardin, the deadliest Texas outlaw. To some, he's a folk hero. To others, he is an absolute garbage nightmare human being. For everyone, John Wesley Hardin was a Texan. The man was said to be so mean that he'd shot a man for snoring. He was also said to have shot a man's eye out in order to win a bottle of whiskey. I'm sure you're surprised, but like most of the famous figures we talk about in Texas history, his story is a blend of fact and elaborate fiction. After all, Hardin said that he'd killed over 40 men, but newspapers were really only able to collaborate closer to 27. He even wrote his own autobiography in jail, and many of his stories are a bit of a stretch. Born in Bonham, Texas in 1853, John was in trouble extremely early. He was named after the founder of Methodism, but he was anything other than an angel. The first time he ever killed a man, he was just 15 years old. To be fair, he claimed it was self-defense, but this wasn't the first time he'd put the hurt on somebody. When he was in school, he was accused by another student of writing some pretty insulting graffiti on the schoolhouse wall about a girl in their class. Hardin immediately spun it and said that it was written by his very own accuser. The accuser supposedly charged him with a knife. Hardin grabbed his own knife and almost gutted the kid. Oh, and that 15-year-old Hardin's killing incident was his uncle's former slave, Mage. The story goes that Hardin challenged Mage to a wrestling match, and Hardin claimed that he was a total badass, won the day, and that, you know, he was just minding his own business the next day when Mage ran after him with a stick. So he shot him 5 times. His dad told him to run, as their Confederate sympathies were not going to go over well in a court that was recently taken over by Union soldiers. It was after the Civil War. Hardin was found and claimed that he totally chose to confront the Union soldiers that they sent to arrest him. In his version of the story, he killed 4 men and was wounded in the arm. He became a fugitive. For those who love a gunslinger, Hardin does not disappoint. Hardin was playing cards well, too well. Benjamin Bradley, his fellow player, informed Hardin that if he won again, that he'd cut out his liver. Bradley drew his knife and a six-shooter. With his weapons not easily at hand, Hardin stepped away from the table. Bradley came looking for him. While Bradley fired first, he missed Hardin entirely. Hardin whipped out 2 pistols from the holsters he had sewed into his vest, crossed his arms to fire, and shot Bradley once in the head and once in the chest. I like to picture it, if you've ever seen the movie Boondock Saints, it's like when their friend crosses his arms and tries to shoot people. It was probably a lot better than that. Hardin was arrested in 1871 for the murder of Waco City Marshal Laban John Hoffman. Hoffman was killed while getting a shave. Someone walked right up behind him and shot him while he was sitting in the barber chair. Hardin claimed that this one was a murder he didn't commit. While locked up, Hardin bought a revolver from another prisoner. Hardin escaped when the 2 officers taking him to trial stopped to feed their horses. The way he told it, one of the officers started beating him, and he feigned crying and hit against the horse before shooting the officer and then using the horse to escape. He went on to rustle cattle with his cousins, fighting Mexican vaqueros and other card players along the way. He also was involved in, you know, like a whole blood feud, but that's a whole other thing. John Wesley Hardin spent time with Wild Bill Hickok, but it is doubtful that they were friendly, despite Hardin's stories. Hardin was hanging out in Abilene, Kansas, when one of his friends got really mad about Hickok altering a bit of illicit advertising on the side of a bar, which was featuring a really well-endowed bull. I'm not going to go into much more detail than that. The bar owners tried to convince Hardin to kill Wild Bill, but he said if a man needed killing, they should do it themselves. Still, he walked into town to confront Hickok. Hickok told him to take off his guns, as they weren't allowed in town. And Hardin handed over his guns. Only while he was getting ready to put them down, he flipped them so that they were pointing at Wild Bill. Bill didn't bat an eye. He told Hardin to watch himself in town. Wild Bill was notorious for disliking Texans and not letting people get away with breaking the law in his own town. Hardin liked to say that he was the only one that Wild Bill would allow to ride through towns with his guns on, and he said he actually was responsible for helping Hardin escape the law, but it honestly sounds like a lot of that was made up. It was while hanging out in this town that John Wesley killed a man for snoring. The man was a friend sleeping in the room next door. They'd been drinking, and they were tired and irritated with each other. Hardin yelled through the wall for his friend to stop snoring, but when his friend didn't stop, he fired through the wall in an attempt to scare him. One of the bullets hit his friend in the heart, and he died instantly. There's a whole quote about Hardin saying that, oh, the newspapers say I killed 6 or 7 men for snoring, but it was just the one. Anyway. Hardin had a victim complex like nobody's business and made sure to include that in his biography about how he was not given proper justice, he blamed the union, or people were out to get him, it was self-defense, or that those people just needed killing. Hardin was also fairly vocal about being racist as hell. He did not like black people, and he was awful to Mexican people. He was pissed that he was too young to join the Civil War for the Confederates, and liked to tell people he'd tried to run away and join the war when he was 9. In 1875, Texas Governor Richard Hubbard offered $4,000 as a reward for Hardin's arrest. Hardin was getting in trouble in Florida and Alabama at the time, having escaped a blood feud. Rangers and local authorities in Pensacola, Florida came across Hardin on a train. Hardin tried to fight off the lawmen, but he got his pistol caught in his suspenders, so they knocked Hardin unconscious. If anyone thought that prison would calm him down, they'd be wrong. In 1879, Hardin and 50 other convicts successfully tunneled into the Huntsville Prison Armory. They were stopped, but Hardin made more attempts at escape. Eventually, Hardin ended up teaching Sunday school in the prison. He read quite a bit and penned his own insane autobiography while also working to read some law books. He got out of prison after serving 17 of 25 years and ended up going to Gonzales, Texas. He received a pardon and passed the bar exam so he could practice law. And he did make a solid attempt at, you know, practicing law before he got bored and kind of went off on his own. He married a 15-year-old. That fell apart. And he moved to El Paso. Hardin's luck ran out in El Paso. One of his close friends was a woman named the Widow Mraz. She was a part-time prostitute and had gotten arrested for brandishing a gun in public. Hardin was not having it. He confronted John Selman Jr., the lawman who did the arresting, and they exchanged words. Hardin pistol-whipped Selman Jr. Selman Sr., his dad, was not going to let anyone just pistol-whip his kid, and he and Hardin fought. The next night, Hardin went to go play dice at Acme Saloon, and just before midnight, Selman Sr. came into the bar and shot Hardin in the head, before firing 3 more shots into Hardin's corpse, which, trust me, at this point in time, a lot of people wanted to do. They wasted no time in burying Hardin the very next day in Concordia Cemetery in El Paso. Selman was brought up on charges, was set to go to retrial before he himself was killed following a card game gone wrong. So, you know, that happens a lot. The best part is John Wesley Hardin continued to cause problems even after his death. In 1995, there was a battle between El Paso and Hardin's descendants in Nixon, Texas. A group in El Paso said the body should stay where it had been for the past 100 years. The descendants showed up with a permit to disinter the body. The El Pasans showed up with a court order prohibiting the removal of the body. Things got ugly, there was name-calling, both sides accused the other of wanting the body for the revenue generated by tourism. The issue went to the court with a lawsuit, and the body today remains in El Paso. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to find out more about John Wesley Hardin, I will be including some information in our resources at txslangforcrazy.com. There is a lot on this man, and obviously with our podcast, we only kind of scratch the surface. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. And if you want to read more about Texas, we do have a book out. It's called Texas Slang for Crazy by myself, Victoria Irwin. And if you need that last name spelling, it's IRWIN. Thank you and have a great week.